Hi, this is Jennifer. You're listening to episode 2 of Love, Hope, and Stories. A few months ago, my 3-year-old daughter participated in a clinical trial to measure biomarkers for Phelan-McDermid syndrome. Now, I've never known anyone who participated in a clinical trial before. The only thing I know about them is what I've seen on Grey's Anatomy. But this one was a little different than what I saw on television. There's no experimental drugs or surgeries involved in this trial. This one consisted of just a physical exam, a motor skills evaluation, an interview for her and for me, with a psychologist, and lots and lots and lots of questionnaires. It also involved an EEG and blood work, which Isabella was gonna hate. As I drove towards the hospital that day, I found myself thinking two things. One, that this was gonna be a really, really hard couple of days for both of us. And I found myself debating whether or not I should even put on makeup. Isabella was born at 6.5 weeks early, and she had quite a long stay in the NICU, 75 days to be exact. At exactly 5 weeks old, almost to the hour, she received a diagnosis of Phelan-McDermid syndrome, a rare genetic condition that often causes overall developmental delays, moderate to profound intellectual disabilities, decreased muscle tone, which makes things like sitting and walking very difficult, if it's possible at all, an absent or delayed speech, which right now at 3, I've heard her say, "Mama," when she's really, really, really crying and upset. But on a daily basis, she hasn't babbled or spoken any words yet. We had stopped by the NICU that morning on our way to church to visit with Isabella and to introduce her to her big brother Jackson for the first time. She was 5 weeks old and they had never met. And a very precious, beautiful nurse set this arrangement up to where we could take family pictures and have that little moment where our family of four could actually all be in the same room at the same time. It just so happened that this diagnosis came to us the morning of Sanctity of Life Sunday. Now, Vinny and I very quickly decided that we were not going to tell anyone outside of our immediate families about the situation until we heard first what God had to say about this. We believe in asking God to talk to us, and I believe that He speaks when we ask, that He will actually respond to that, and He speaks to us. So I wanted to know what He had to say about this, and it took a few weeks to solidify what we were feeling from Him, what we were thinking that He was telling us, but His first few words came really loud and really strong. The Tuesday evening after that Sunday morning diagnosis, I excused myself from Isabella's bedside and went into the restroom in the NICU waiting area to cry for the very first time. Through the uncontrollable sobs, I mean, I'm telling you, it was a flood of tears that was happening. All the weight of her future, everything that they were saying she would and would not do, were landing on me at that time, and it was just all I could do was cry. In the middle of all that, I was asking God, why did this happen? The deeper question in my heart was, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Very clearly, the Holy Spirit answered quickly with John 9. This is not punishment, Jennifer. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in her life, and my work will be displayed in her life. So with that, I took a deep breath, cleaned my face, and went back in to be with my daughter. So here we are, 3 years later. I am the crazy lady mama who keeps asking God to completely heal. I'm shooting for the stars, people. I am shooting way up high, asking God to completely heal every part of her body, all the way down to her chromosome deletion. As impossible of a request that is. I know. I've been told. We once saw a Christian pediatrician. It's known that she is a Christian doctor. She gave me instructions for praying for Isabella when she was really young. She said, pray for her heart, pray for her lungs, but don't pray for her chromosomes. That's how God designed her. That's how He wants her to be. Now, I left her office that day thinking, I have problems with that advice. why would I pray for parts of her physical body and not pray for other parts of her physical body? If lungs and heart are physical and chromosomes are physical, then why would I not pray for all of them? That doesn't make sense to me. And number two, when Jesus gave us the perfect example of prayer, he taught us to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that leads me to think, how is my daughter going to be in heaven? In Romans 14:11, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So if every knee can bow, then they must be able to stand first. And if every tongue is going to confess, that must mean that they're going to be able to speak. So if one day, if I'm praying God's will be on earth right now as it is in heaven one day in the future, then if these things are going to happen in the future, then why wouldn't I be able to pray them now? In fact, I feel that Jesus is instructing me to pray for these things to be done on earth as it will be done in heaven. I have a mandate as her mother to pray for the impossible in her life. I have the example of many parents in the New Testament who have asked and received the impossible for their children. I have a promise from Jesus that even though with man these things may be impossible, with God all things are possible. I also have a declaration of him who sits on the throne that he is making all things new. This is where we have landed concerning Isabella's current disability. And this is where we're staying. I'm the crazy lady. It's okay. You can call me that. This is what I'm doing. This is the kind of parent I will be for her. But before you think that I have my heads in the clouds and I'm not facing reality and I really just need to go to counseling to get some acceptance in my life, let me assure you, we live with the very real reality of the situation every single day. We've been in the hospital more times than I can count. And let me confess to you that some days are just gray. Some days we cry. Sometimes we get sad. There are moments when we are frustrated and we feel at a loss. We feel the disability all over our whole family. I never thought that I would have a little blue placard to hang in my window that said handicap spot. You know, you would love to park up close to the grocery store and get in that handicap spot when you don't need it. But when you need it, you would really just rather park in the farthest spot in the parking lot so that you can walk your daughter up just like every other daughter. It feels like we've lost hope in those moments of grayness. Like maybe every promise that we have felt from the Lord, we're letting go. And maybe our eyes of hope aren't so clear. And maybe there are days that we shame ourselves for not trusting enough. You might know these days as well. When you're sitting in the office and you're hearing the doctor say all the things you prayed he wouldn't say, or when you're living through the breakup that you prayed would never happen, when you're listening to your family member who you know is lying to you again after you've prayed and prayed and prayed that they would change. That morning on the way to the clinical trial, outside the car, it was a beautiful sunshiny day. A lovely early morning bustle. I love those days. But inside the car, I felt caught between two realities. One firm reality of God's words of promise planted deep in my heart. And the other reality was that I was about to tell another set of doctors and researchers all the ways this syndrome limits my daughter's abilities, which usually causes me to cry a lot, just like it did in the beginning of this whole journey, standing in that NICU restroom. So like I said, I knew it would be a hard couple of days, and I found myself debating whether or not I should even put on makeup. If I did, and I cried, I'd look like a hot mess, and I'd feel even worse. My face was probably about to rain. Psalm 65, 5 through 8 talks about God is our salvation. He's the hope of all the ends of the earth, the distant seas. In verse 7, it says, "You silence the roar of the seas, the roar of the waves." That reminds me when Jesus was on the earth, and we have it recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke, when he stepped out and he said, "Peace be still," and the seas and the storm calmed. But Psalm 65 goes on to say, "You visit the earth and you water it abundantly, enriching it greatly. God's stream is filled with water, for you prepare the earth in this way, providing people with grain. You soften it with your showers and bless its growth, soaking its furrows and leveling the ridges." Because this rain has come to the earth, it goes on to talk about how the earth is crowned with God's goodness. Because of God's goodness to send the rain, our carts can overflow with plenty. The pastures overflow with flocks, and the hills are robed with joy. The valleys are covered with grain, and they shout in triumph. Indeed, they sing. Because rain comes to the earth, we have our provision, and we're able to give God glory for the rain. Sometimes he does silence the roar of the seas in our heart. But sometimes he visits our lives with abundant rain on purpose so it can grow. As I was weighing my options to make up or not to make up, my grandmother used to call this putting on her face. She's a very Southern woman. I heard the lyrics of this song that was playing in the background. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seed, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. He is faithful. Though seasons change, his love remains. And today's just a rain day. Jen, it's okay. It's just a rain day. I started saying it over and over. Today's just a rain day. It's okay to cry because it's just a rain day. Little girl, do you hear that? If you see your mama crying in a little bit, don't worry. It's just a rain day. Mommy's just realizing it's just a rain day. In that moment, God flipped my entire perspective. Instead of seeing my tears as a lack of faith or hope, he let me see that my tears were an anointing over our future. He let me realize that the seeds of truth and promise are actually being watered on those challenging days when we're faced with the today reality. On those gloomy, gray, rainy days, we have to decide whether we're going to choose to believe him or choose to give in to our feelings. When we have to choose through the sorrow to trust him, when we have an opportunity to choose him even through the rainy days that we feel, our roots are being nourished and strengthened, and fruit is not far off. Will you choose to see the potential of your rainy day? Will you choose to hope in his love in the middle of the rain when it comes? And will you be wild and free enough to sing in the rain anyway? Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. I thank you for my friend who's listening today, and I pray that you will help both of us to remember how much you love us and that there's nothing that we feel that you haven't already felt. God, you've walked in our shoes, you took our place, and now we can rest in the love that you have for us. That is our hope, God. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. And we thank you, God, for seeing us through every situation that we face. Amen. Hey, guys, I hope this story sparked something in your heart today. If you trusted Jesus for the first time, would you let me know? I would love to celebrate with you. And I'd love to help you find a local life-giving church where you are. You can email me at lovehopeandstories@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at Love, Hope, and Stories. And on Twitter at Love Hope Stories. Now go out and share your story today